The school year has its ups and downs. Even though the stretch from November to December contains a lot of fun activities, educators are exhausted leaving for winter break. Most likely, they might be feeling an undercurrent of a cold or just completely drained. Depending on the year, you might start to wonder if there's another job that doesn't leave you feeling this exhausted with nothing left to give your family for the holidays. Thank you for joining me for the last of four Ed Hot Take episodes this month. It's been fun to share these short conversations around a few education hot topic and tough questions. In today's episode, I'm sharing a few thoughts about teacher well-being. As a former educator who would often spend my winter break hibernating in order to recover from another semester, I am really passionate about this topic and hopefully have a few nuggets for you to think about as you enjoy your time off. Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team. Let's dive in. In the last few years, educator well-being has been top of mind of many school districts. Many educators, teachers, and administrators are leaving their current positions or leaving the profession altogether. Something needs to change, but where does it start? I was a middle school teacher and instructional coach for 13 years, so I understand, I sympathize. And because I myself have been a part of the teacher burnout scenario, I wanted to share with you two educator well-being imperatives or just thoughts from teacher to administrator, but also to those teachers who feel the way that I did a few years ago. First, self-care doesn't remove the systemic problems that make an educator's job harder. Often, at the end of a meeting, before we would head off to break, I would hear administrators say something like, "Don't forget to take care of yourself and rest." It was a tag on of an extra thing, and maybe it'd be accompanied by a self-care calendar or a reminder to take a walk or practice mindfulness. I would almost feel the eye roll from my colleague next to me without even looking. The underlying message that I heard here was that you have the responsibility of teaching high-quality lessons, keeping students engaged, meeting various needs in the classroom, being present among staff, and communicating with parents. And on top of that, you should take care of yourself too. The thing that bothers me about this is that it is an assumption that teachers are not already trying to take care of themselves. So many teachers I know already work out after school, strive to eat healthy, go to therapy, spend time with their families, and have active social lives. The "don't forget to take care of yourself" feels like a pat on the head full of pity and false sympathy, almost patronizing. Now, I know that that may not be the intention. I know it is actually not the intention. And I know so many well-meaning administrators say it because they are there themselves too, burned out and exhausted from answering parent phone call after parent phone call, being the target of many frustrations of the staff. Still, it may not be the long-term solution or the most appropriate encouragement. It doesn't address the root problem. And so many teachers are drowning, and instead of sending out a rescue boat, small floaties are dropped from above. So my first challenge is to the administrator, because I know that there are so many things that you wish you could change, but you can't. But here's just some things to think about. What if the encouragement to staff isn't about self-care, but instead of the encouragement, you go about helping them have the training, the tools, and work on the system that really wants them to feel successful at what they do every day? What if instead you advocated for teachers at your district meetings, fighting for more time and resources, and building up the system to help them? What if instead, as a staff, you all reflected together about what would help you feel more successful the next semester and start to work on those things with them? And you may not be able to fix all the big things at once, but consider what you can do to help them make themselves a priority as well. So here's a few ideas. Maybe it's canceling a meeting that could be an email because time is a frequent ask. Maybe it's addressing problems with one person instead of sending a blanket email reminder to everyone, making your anxiety-prone teachers panic that they did something wrong. That would be me. Maybe it's covering a class for a teacher so that they can make a parent phone call at just the right time, or perhaps intercepting that parent phone call instead, because that kind of support means a lot. Maybe if you're a district leader, It's spending time looking at your resources and seeing what you can do to help get teachers the tools they need to meet student needs. My second imperative or thought is really for everyone, because we know that teacher collective efficacy is a powerful factor in the success of a culture. And administrators do have a huge part to play in that, and they help to lay the foundation and lead for that positive culture. However, this is about everybody too. My encouragement is to start with yourself and what you can control. And one of those things is your mindset. And hear me out, don't turn off the podcast because I'm not asking you to start with your why, but to start with this moment, this day. This is the same question I used to ask new teachers after a hard day or a meltdown in my office. It's the same question that I used to ask myself. What is going right? What is working? Maybe it's that you have that one student who never fails to smile and say hi to you in the morning. Maybe it's the teacher down the hall that has the best jokes of the day and you steal them for your class too. Maybe it's that your class actually got into a lesson that you planned. Maybe if you're an administrator, did you have a positive parent interaction today or a positive student interaction? Because it's easy to blame others in the midst of a difficult year, and it's really easy to wallow in those struggles. But one of the best things to do is to look for the glimmers, the little things, the good. Our brains are trained to look for the negative, but we have to be intentional about seeing the positive. Look at what's going right. What is working? Because that is the stuff that helps you feel the motivation and excitement for the hard stuff. And that validation of the good stuff goes a really long way with teachers. In fact, that is really a core thing that many teachers are craving to hear. Some students make gains, and there are some students that still need help. Some students make you really glad you're a teacher, and there are some that need intensive social, emotional, and behavior supports. Both are true. Both can be true. But it's hard to be motivated and committed if you start with the negative. And so the second part of this encouragement is about getting practical. Because there are practical things that make a hard job even harder, right? There are little things. Sometimes it's being so overwhelmed with all that is thrown at you in the day that any structure or order is just out the window. You just give up. So really, it is about asking yourself what you can do to set yourself up for a better day. And so what this means is taking time up front to say, what can I do on the front end? What could I do now to make tomorrow, the next day, just a little bit easier? And that could be writing out tomorrow's must-dos before you leave for the day, taking 2 to 3 minutes to brain dump the 5 things that you need to do when you sit down at your desk when you walk in the door. Maybe it's cleaning your desk. Guilty. That was my desk was always messy. For an administrator, maybe it's blocking your calendar for an hour in the morning to check in with teachers and do walkthroughs in the classroom, because your presence matters. And that kind of positive interaction will set up your day even more. Maybe it's scheduling your emails to go out at 8 a.m. in the morning instead of 5 p.m. the night before, so that when you open your computer in the morning, there's no more emails to answer to than that are already there. So, but the question is the same. Asking yourself, what is one thing you could do to make the start of your day just a little bit easier? And for my leaders, a great way to start small is to just be honest with your staff, how you need to do those things too. Model to them the same kind of attitude or posture towards the challenges in a hard year. Again, that validation matters. Finally, I recognize that there's a lot of work to be done in the area of supporting teachers, and the needs of every district can look very different. However, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your service to your district, your school, your students, your community. You are doing good work. You deserve rest and recognition for your hard work. Educators don't often get to see the result of that hard work for a really long time. Here at Branching Minds, we support educators from the district office to the buses. Each person that serves a student at some point in their day has an impact on that student's life. We see you and hope that you have a restful winter break and happy new year. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to hear all our future episodes. As well, if you're enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast on iTunes? This helps others find our podcast and let us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Branching Minds.